want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It is good to be together as a family and just watching what's happening with the situation with Lee and Irma. Just seeing the church care, gather around them and pray. I know there's others here this morning that are facing some pretty difficult times. And I just want to commend you as a congregation this morning for your care, for your love. I'd like for you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. For those of you that have the NLT, you can follow along. For those of you who don't, I'd like for you to listen in. As I was preparing this message, I was in prayer and asking the Lord a few questions. And maybe this is as far as it'll go this morning. I'm not sure how far I'm going to go with my message this morning. But I felt the Lord very clearly telling me I'd like for you to go through. I was going to go to 1 Corinthians 8, but I want you first of all to share something else before you get into 1 Corinthians 8 too deep. So maybe that's as far as we'll get this morning. We'll see once. But I want to open this morning. As pastors, we pray that God allows the Holy Spirit to work. We're up here sharing His message. This is not our message. This is God's message. I can't do anything for you to say yes to Jesus, but follow God. The Holy Spirit does that work. So this morning I'm asking you to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. And I'm also going to open up the altar up here this morning through the whole message. So if God speaks to you this morning as we're sitting here and as we're listening to what He has to say, if the Holy Spirit speaks into your heart, you are welcome to come to the altar. We're going to stop the service and we're going to pray. So I want you to know that this morning. Maybe you have a testimony that God has put on your heart and you'd like to share that. We'll stop the service. I don't need to preach this morning. We'd like the Holy Spirit to move amongst us. So I want to open that door to you this morning. I'd like to read the text this morning, 1 Corinthians 8. And I'm going to read this, like I said, out of the NLT. And this is a scripture that talks about what I want, what others want, how do we relate to each other in that. And there's three chapters. Chapter 8, 9, and 10 here in 1 Corinthians that actually talk about this. Paul goes into some pretty deep things about this. And we're just going to talk about 1 Corinthians 8 this morning. We're not going to talk about 9 and 10 because there's so much here. Would you please stand? And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 8. Now about food sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone thinks he knows anything, he does not yet know it as he ought to know it. But if anyone loves God, he is known by Him. About eating food sacrificed to idols, then we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father. All things are from Him, and we exist for Him. And there is one Lord, Jesus Christ. All things are through Him, and we exist through Him. However, not everyone has this knowledge. Some have been so used to idolatry up until now that when they eat food sacrificed to an idol, their conscience, being weak, is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are not worse off if we don't eat, and we are not better if we do eat. But be careful that this right of yours in no way becomes a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone sees you, the one who has knowledge, dining in an idol's temple, won't his weak conscience be encouraged to eat food offered to idols? So the weak person, the brother or sister for whom Christ died, is ruined by your knowledge. Now when you sin like this against brothers and sisters and wound their weak conscience, you are sinning against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother or sister to fall, I will never again eat meat so that I won't cause my brother or sister to fall. You may be seated. Did you ever meet someone who seemed to have all the answers? I think we've probably all met somebody like that. It just seems they have the answer to everything in life. They seem to have knowledge. Paul's talking here. There was a question, a letter that was written to Paul. We've talked about this a couple of times. But there was a letter that was written to Paul that we don't have. And they ask a bunch of questions. And this was one of the questions. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols. They didn't know, could they partake of that or could they not partake of that? I'm going to ask you two questions this morning. I'm not going to answer them, but I want you to think about these questions. Maybe this week you can talk about those questions. Think about them. What is the most difficult thing about following Jesus? That's question number one. Question number two, what is the easiest thing about following Jesus? I'm not going to give you the answer. I want you to think about that. As I was preparing for this message, this is a direction that I felt God taking me. We're talking about love in this chapter. That's really what this chapter is about. How much do I love the brotherhood? That I'm willing to lay down what I want for the sake of the brothers and sisters. Jesus was talking to the disciples. He said, who do people say that I am? The disciples gave him some answers. And then he looked at the disciples and he says, who do you say that I am? What did Peter say? Somebody know. Peter said, thou art the Christ. Thank you, we're back. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus responded back to Peter, says, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Sometimes we get the idea that we're building church. Brothers and sisters, we're not. He will build His church, but He needs people to work for Him. He needs people to do what is important in church building. So if I'm going to join Him, then I need to know what He teaches. I need to know what He's asking of me. I want to build this message this morning on this premise. We are a New Testament church. And by the way, I don't think I even gave the title, did I? Non-offensive liberty is the title this morning. I want to build this message on this premise this morning, that we are a New Testament church. And let me explain that a little bit. The Old Testament taught us about sin. We have the picture of the children of Israel. They're coming out of slavery. They're coming into freedom. A picture for us. A lot of different pictures that we have in the Old Testament about coming from sin into life. In the New Testament, the topmost command, the command that is at the highest for us as believers is to love God and to love each other. I've stated that so many times here, and I'm going to keep on stating it because it is so important. If you go back to Genesis 1 and you follow all the way through, there is a thread of love that goes through the whole Bible. A thread of love. Now some would say because you're talking about love, you're not talking about God's justice. Yes, God's justice fits right in. He loves so much that he will not tolerate sin throughout all of eternity. That's where we're headed. We want to be with him throughout all of eternity. And we're guaranteed that there is no sin there. He loves that much. God uses us to build his church. How am I expressing love within the body here? That's a question I had to ask myself. And by the way, what I'm sharing this morning is something I felt the Lord just speaking to my heart real deep. How do I love the body? Verse 3 here, he says, let's go to verse 1 instead. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. There were those that said they knew it all in this congregation here in Corinthians. No. Paul said, you think you know it all, but all it's doing is puffing you up. But it said there's something that is more important than that yet. That is charity, because charity edifies. The idea of edifies here is the idea of building a house. Charity builds. If there's one thing that we need to know amongst the brothers and sisters, that we need to express and experience right here, is love. First of all, love for God, and then love for each other. I want to talk to you for just a second. Now, this is an old story, but we will continue to share this story. We serve a Father, a God, who loves. He loved enough that he took his Son, his only Son, and he sent him down here to earth for you and I. And you say, yeah, I know that story. But I want you to think about that this morning. Every one of us sitting here this morning can be one who accepts and says yes to his love. He sent his Son. Jesus came to be the perfect sacrifice. You know, they made many, many sacrifices. None of them were perfect. But Jesus came and he gave us the perfect sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice. That's the God we serve. He showed us what true love looks like, and he showed us what true love does. He laid down his life for every one of us sitting here this morning, for me. He laid down his life. That's the kind of love he showed. So if you're not serving him this morning, I beg of you, say yes to his call. I had to think about what happened the other night as we slept. Danny mentioned something about that this morning, I believe. What the U.S. is doing, what Israel's doing, what's happening. End times. That's not a scare tactic. But I want us to think about the fact that things are happening. Jesus is coming back. And unless we love him and we love the brotherhood, there's a phrase he's going to say. He's going to say, I never knew you. We don't want to be there. Love edifies, it builds up. Churches grow spiritually when there is love within the body. When love is absent, churches die. So the question I ask myself, if everyone loved like I love, would the church thrive or die? Ask yourself that question. If everybody loved exactly like you and I love, would the church die? Would it thrive? I can't change that for you, but I can change it for me. You can change that by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your heart. A congregation may have all the correct, perfect programs in place. We're good at that. We may even have all the doctrines where they belong. We may even have the exterior looking perfect. But if love is not there, somebody tell me what's happening. There's death. There's death. We're missing the mark. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He's the source of love. So So in fulfilling the mission of the church, love is essential. We cannot succeed as a church here at Calvary Chapel unless we love. It's not going to happen. We may continue to meet, but if love were to die out here this morning, we'd be nothing but an empty shell. Love has to be our focus. I got written here, the church functioning without love is just an institution. Nothing else. It's just another organization. We want our church to grow. We want to see the pews filled. But what about if we were to focus more on spiritual growth than numbers? So important. Jesus took 12 men. I think I heard that this morning somewhere. Jesus took 12 men. And He spoke into their lives. And He taught them how to live life. Out of those 12 men, there were 11 that stayed faithful. Out of those 11 men, the church was born. And we have the same message today that they had back then. He taught them what true love was. He taught them what love looked like. And I mentioned this before, and then He showed them what love really does. He didn't demand His way, but He gave opportunity. And He's doing the same thing here this morning. He's not demanding His way. We have a choice. But I pray that we choose Him. I pray that we choose true love. I love the story. I love following a guy by the name of J. John. How many of you know who I'm talking about? Okay. J. John is a guy from, I'm not even sure where he's from, but he's a pastor, and he loves sharing stories. J. John shared this story. He said they were in a big city, and they needed to get from their hotel about 20 minutes away. So they called an Uber. Hope I said that right. The Uber showed up. They got in the car. J. John's not one that's going to stay silent. They were in the car for about a minute, and he said, "What can I pray for you about?" And the Uber driver said, "My mother has Alzheimer's." Well, J. John started praying for his mother. And within a little bit, the guy starts praying himself, "God, I'm sorry, I'll go back to church." And he started repenting of where he'd been. They get out of the car, they do their thing for the day. Time to go back to the hotel. Another 20 minutes back. His wife gets out her phone, gets the Uber app, and nothing works. And they tried and tried and tried, but the app just would not work. And they didn't know what to do. It was getting dark. They needed to go 20 minutes across town. Finally, he looked at his wife and said, "There's a woman over there. Go talk to her." So she did. She went over and she asked her, "Do you know anything about Uber apps?" She said, "No." She said, "Well, we're trying to get to our hotel, and the Uber app is not working." And she said, "Well, where are you trying to go?" And so he told her. She told her, and she responded with, "Well, I'll take you. Let's get in my car, I'll take you." So they did. They got in the car. And of course, as they started back, it wasn't a whole lot of time before J. John asked her, "What about your life? What's happening in your life?" So she began sharing. She said, "4 weeks ago, I lost my son to suicide. For 20 minutes, they loved on her. Just shared Jesus with her. They got to the hotel and they asked her, 'Would you wait? We have some literature.' So they came back, gave her some literature, invited her to church. Here's what really was happening. J. John realized that he's a carrier. He's a carrier of Jesus. Friends, this morning we're all carriers of Jesus, or we should be. When we're born again, we have the Holy Spirit within us. We're carriers of Jesus. God had an appointment for this lady and for this guy. God used Jajon and his wife to be carriers of his love for response. I'm going to do a little example this morning. Judd, would you take a glass, please? I'm going to give all three of you a glass this morning. And this is clean water. You can drink it if you really want to. So you and I are this picture right here. God came and He changed our life. And then He filled us with the Holy Spirit. That's what's in here. This water represents the Holy Spirit. I can take this water and I can hide it. This is mine. I have the Holy Spirit and I am not sharing it with anybody. But here's what God asks of us. Remember, He says there's going to be living water and there's plenty of it. But He uses us as vessels. So as we carry Jesus, we're walking around, we're traveling, we're sharing the Holy Spirit, we're sharing Jesus with those that are around us. Now you notice I'm sharing with these gentlemen up here. I haven't forced any of them to drink because I can't. I can tell them, drink, come on. But I can't. But I can share Jesus. Whether they drink or not, it's going to be their choice. But we're this picture this morning. I get chills when I think about the fact of the many times that I had opportunity to fill somebody's cup. And I turned the cup upside down instead. Love. We have the source of love. Are we going to hide it in the pitcher? Are we going to give it and allow others to receive? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given them, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." I'm going to talk to you for just a bit. We're not going to continue with the message this morning. We're going to bring it to a close. There's more I want to share, but I don't feel I should this morning. I want to share with you just a little bit out of 1 Corinthians. We're going to talk a little bit for just a couple minutes here. What is love? And you look at these, and you decide in your spirit, in your heart, if this is you or not. If it's not, we need to make some changes. I need to make some changes. Love is patient. When my patience is tried, when that driver cuts me off, love is patient. When my child keeps begging for something and I just don't have time, love is patient. When I feel like my wife just keeps bugging me, love is patient. Love is kind. How have I been treating those around me with kindness? Love is not jealous. So if somebody gets something new and I don't have that, bless them. It's okay not to be jealous. Bless them. Love is not boastful. And it is not rude. Love doesn't demand its own way. And that one fits in really well with where we were going this morning. We'll use it another time. Love is not irritable or easily provoked. And the last one I want to name here is love doesn't keep track of how many times you've been wronged. Remember, I think it was Peter, one of them had asked, how often do I forgive? Chad, did you share that last Sunday? How often do I forgive? 7 times? No. And Jesus said, you forgive. He said 70 times 7, but like Chad said, I think that was just a number. We continue to forgive. How many times have I strayed and my dear Father has said, I'll forgive you? I'm going to close with that this morning. But I want to just ask you, as we close, if we had a scales up here, and you stepped on that scales and it would say where your love is for your Father, what would the scales say? See, the Heavenly Father knows. This sounds like it's a condemning message. It's not. I just want you to know that God loves you. And He's asking you to love those around you. Simple. That's all we're going to do this morning. God loves you, and He's asking you to love those around Him. Would you stand with me? We're going to close in prayer. God, again, we're just so blessed. We're so blessed when we think about the fact that You sent Your Son to die for us. We're so thankful that we are not on our own. We're thankful that You have given us everything we need to walk this Christian walk. God, we fail so many times. We mess up. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, for forgiving us. Thank You for calling us sons and daughters. We just want to bless You this morning. Thank You, God, for the way that You've answered prayers in this congregation here. We thank You that You care. And now, Lord, as we close the meeting here this morning, we ask that You would continue to allow Your Spirit to work in our hearts, to draw us close. Help us to remember that You are returning, that we have an opportunity today to walk with You. We bless You. Bless the body here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.